60 degrees. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high of 76. For tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 55. 66 degrees at 3:08. News is sponsored by Midstate Transmission and the Sewing Studio. When severe weather strikes, keep your radio on WJBC and WJBC.com. I'm Adam Stasinski.
Abdul Shabazz used to work at this radio station. He used to sit in these very this very building that we sit there. And like a lot of people who come and pass through, he's gone on to make something of himself. How are you, Abdul? It's good to talk to you.
My father would probably disagree with you, but I'm always happy, my friend, to have the kind words and to talk to the WJBC audience.
Well, you know what? Get people up to date on what you're doing now. You're over in Indianapolis.
Yes. After leaving WJBC Radio, I went to grad school at the U of I Springfield, just right down the road. Stayed there, got my master's in government and politics, went to be a political reporter for a while. End up going to work for then Attorney General Jim Ryan, the one who did not go to prison, by the way. Make that perfectly clear.
You always wanted to be on the air doing jock stuff, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Exactly. Ended up going to law school while working for the Attorney General, was a lawyer, did talk radio in Springfield for a while, came over here, was only supposed to be a 2-year stint back in 2004. The girl I was dating in Springfield decided she did not want to do long distance, but she wanted to do other people. So we ended up breaking up, and next thing you know, I'm doing radio here, and I met my future, well, I would say future ex-wife, because she doesn't know that yet, but my future wife, who I have very happily married to for the past 7 years.
Good deal. Well, I'm glad to hear. And Indianapolis is a great town to live in. I love that city. So anyway, that's not what we had you over here to do, AAA Road Reports. We had you over here to talk
about. It's all I-74, my friend.
That's right. It is. You wrote an article that's being widely copied and shared on the internet right now, particularly from Reboot Illinois. And we talked about it on Tuesday, and it was your article that says The People v. Illinois, Time for Citizen Lawsuit Over Illinois Budget Crisis. I'm not sure how many people even knew this was possible, but your thesis in this, the core thing that you wrote about was, hey, folks, did you know you can sue the state to get a budget done?
Yes, my argument was, just like I said, just looking at the dysfunction, you know, in my home state, because I still keep a place there. My parents live in Chicago, so despite the politics, I still love Illinois and consider myself an Illini, tried and true. I got to thinking that if these guys don't get anything done by the end of the day, they'll have gone 2 years without passing a budget. I mean, it's one thing to go a few weeks or maybe a couple months, but 2 years and their second budget. So, like, you know, there's got to be a way to break this gridlock. So I went looking at the Illinois Constitution, and I thought to myself, you know what, it's right here, because the Constitution says pretty clearly that these numbnuts have to pass a budget. You know, the governor's got to submit a budget, lawmakers need to make appropriations. So, like, you know what, hey, if you guys won't do it, maybe the courts will do it for you.
And it's too bad it would even have to come to that, but there is legal recourse for this, right?
Yeah, the Constitution has always given the citizens of Illinois legal recourse. And apart from the U.S. Constitution, it is, you know, it's the highest court in the land. And what I wrote in my article on Reboot Illinois was just citing a couple of provisions that would have allowed the voters of Illinois or the taxpayers or, you know, whomever you want to, you know, have cause for suit. Because first of all, with any lawsuit, there are two things. Number one, can the court hear a case? Number two, should it? And the Constitution gives the court's jurisdiction, you know, to hear the budget dispute. And so the question is, should it? I would argue yes, because if you look at what the Constitution says about Illinois shall do school funding, you know, we shall take care of the environment. And those things, when there's no budget, it isn't getting done. And I kind of say, you know, just look around, you know, to all the examples. Look at all the problems and issues that schools are having right now. You know, take a look at, you know, environmental regulations. Take a look at, you know, in Springfield, the state owes the city of Springfield $12 million in light and gas and heating bills. Imagine that, Dan. You know, if you owed, you know, Illinois Power $12 million, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now, because you'd be sitting in the dark.
Or else we would be doing it in the dark. Exactly right. So there, it's pretty well laid out, as you laid it out in your article in Reboot Illinois, it's pretty well laid out in the Constitution what the responsibilities are of the state legislature. They're not doing this. So take us through the scenario where a lawsuit could start, and then kind of your best guess on what would happen should that happen.
Well, one of the things is, well, first of all, you always have to preface everything with courts do not like to, if they can avoid it, get in the middle of contests between the legislature and the governor if they can help it. They try to say, hey, you know, we all have separation of power, separate branches of government, where we want to stay out of this. But let's assume that they say, hey, you know what, this is ridiculous, we're getting in the middle. So somebody would file litigation. The general rule is you've got 30 days to respond. Sometimes you can get an extension. I would argue you can file in any county, in all 102 counties in the state of Illinois, because it's a state that you're suing. And then the state would have to respond, and you'd lay out your case. You know what? The Constitution says a state shall pass a budget. You know, here it is, July 1, 2017. Illinois has not passed a budget. They have not done their job. And so, Your Honor, we want the courts to order, you know, the legislature to pass a budget. Now, the question has always been, well, you know, what's the redress? Okay, do you get damages? Do they give everybody money or what? It's like, no, I just want these guys to do what they're supposed to do. And, you know, millions of citizens of Illinois, we go to work every day, we do our jobs, you know, this is what we get paid to do, then damn it, guess what? Why don't you guys do what the taxpayers have paid you to do? I mean, if you haven't done your job in 2 years, we'd all be out of a job.
Mm-hmm. So let's say it gets to that point. I want to just do a little what if with you here right now. Let's say that there are lawsuits filed in all 102 counties. And what happens then? Would each county have to look at it individually, or would it get pulled into one big ball and have it? What happens next? Would happen next?
Probably, since you're alleging issues that go to constitutionality, the attorney general that he used to work for, Lisa Madigan, mm-hmm. would probably ask the courts to say, hey, you know, since this goes to, you know, strict constitutional issues and constitutional violations, you know, let's get all this stuff consolidated and moved up to the Illinois Supreme Court, so they would actually, you know, end up sort of hearing the matter and then kind of taking it from there, you know, if they decide, you know, to get involved.
Could a Supreme Court actually force Mike Madigan and Governor Rauner to sit down and negotiate?
Maybe. That is, I would like to think yes, and I think I've laid out a legal theory that they could force them to do a budget, or the courts could say, hey, you know what, you guys won't do a budget, I have seen it done before, we will do the budget for you. You know, and sort of a weird way, even though courts don't like to get in the middle, you know, of legislative stuff. Now, frankly, I just wish, and I really do like Bruce Rauner, because I have a lot of friends who used to work for a former governor here working for him. Some days I just wish he and Mike Madigan would, you know, go in the men's room, grab a ruler, measure what you guys need to measure, and now we're done. Let's go get real work done.
And that's all this is about, isn't it?
And by the way, John Culleton, you can bring a yardstick, too, if
there
you feel that's necessary.
Abdul Shabazz is with us on the phone, and he's a former WJBC news guy working in Indianapolis right now as a reporter, right? You're a political reporter.
Radio talk show host, political writer, commentator, more the commentator than the actual reporter, but I use those journalism skills I learned mm-hmm. from you guys at JBC got 23 years ago to, you know, try to accomplish something.
Boy, let's see, how old would I? Oh my gosh, I would have been under 30 years old. How about, or under 40 years old?
I think you still had black hair.
Oh, not anymore. Not anymore. So you're saying that it is, it could be constitutional. It would hold up constitutionally to have the Supreme Court put a budget together.
I think a strong argument could be made that the legislature has been derelict in its job to pass a budget, and not just once, one whole budget cycle, but twice. And so the last recourse of, you know, sane people, unfortunately, you know, is the court system. And I totally understand judges do not like to get in the middle of this type of stuff, but unfortunately, you know, things have gotten so bad, unless they accomplish something today between, you know, now and, you know, 8 hours and, you know, 43 minutes from now, you know, I don't see, for lack of a better term, I'd be hard pressed to see somebody make the argument to why the court shouldn't do it.
Wow. And what would it take then? The last part of your piece here that you wrote said, now we're looking for a couple of good lawyers who can do, that's kind of the stumbling block, isn't it?
Well, I can always come back home.
There you go. There you go.
I kept my Illinois license current. I never mess around with that thing.
Yeah?
That was sort of my tongue-in-cheek way of, you know, it's like the old joke, oh, look, somebody just got hit by, you know, I used to joke and say when I graduated from law school, I would never be an ambulance chaser. I'd just get magnetic business cards so I could just flip them out the window by accident. That way I don't have to stop when I'm driving by. I think I may have to drive back home and flip my business cards out the window a couple more times.
You think, the end of your piece, though, you said you think you know a lawyer or two who could take this thing up.
There's always somebody willing to break.